Good morning, Sue.
Morning.
How are you?
Good.
Good. Portland City Council will come to order. Today is Wednesday, November 18th, 2009. We're in morning session, 9:30 a.m. Sue, would you please call the roll?
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Fish. Salzman.
Here.
Adams.
Here. Unless there is objection, I'd like to move 1593, and I'll have you read the title, to a new time certain date of December 2nd at 10:30 a.m. 1593.
Amendment to the zoning code to allow a limited amount of office use at PGE Park.
Unless there are objections, so moved. All right. Can you please read the title of the first council communications item, number 1587?
Request of Craig Rogers to address council regarding Portland Parks and Recreation, and he is not able to come.
All righty. Could you please read the title for council communications item, number 1588?
Request of Ulisher Hardiman to address council regarding lack of respect for city charter, Oregon, and U.S. constitutions.
Mr. Hardiman, and do we have video today on our screen, Sue?
I'm sorry.
Please have a seat, Mr. Hardiman.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honor. Salzman, Smith. It's always been intimidating getting in front of y'all.
Well, we're shy by two people, so.
Well, y'all look great, and, you know, it's marvelous to see. I'll have to postpone again, I'm sorry to say.
The timer. Thanks. Go ahead, sir.
I'm sorry. I have to postpone again. I'm sorry to say, Miss over the public defender office. She was going to communicate the information over to your office, Your Honor, as for these monies that were concerned and whatnot. So I don't know where she is in the process.
Well, Mr. Hardiman, I'm very concerned about your recreational vehicle. It has been sighted in numerous locations and. I'm afraid that it is absolutely subject to tow. We have not towed it. I have Jenny Peckinpah here. I don't want to go into other details in public for the sake of your privacy, but
I was told by your own office that they could be parked for 4 hours. And I went to the appointment at 8 o'clock.
Mr. Hardiman, I want to
yes,
be as compassionate as I can,
yes,
given your circumstances. I also have to do my level best to treat all Portlanders fairly.
Certainly.
And I'm concerned that we've been compassionate. I would like you to meet with Jenny, who's the public advocate. I'm very concerned about preventing your recreational vehicle for being towed, and I'd like you to spend some time with her and figure out how we can get it, how together it's going to take you as well, how we prevent it from being towed. Okay?
Your Honor, I'm totally in compliance.
Well, I want you to sit with Jenny.
I certainly will, but I'm totally within compliance. I mean, and you got these people are saying things that aren't true.
Well, sir, I've sat down personally and spent quality time going over your file, and I would like you to meet with Jenny.
I will certainly do that.
I appreciate that.
So they won't do that.
Thank you. She's right there in the red shirt.
Mayor, I want to just commend you for the time you've spent. Our office has also spent time, and we're also addressing a range of other related issues. So we appreciate your work on that.
Great. So that's Jenny Peckinpah. Please spend time with her right now. It's better. These kinds of details for your privacy are better worked out with her. Okay?
Mr. Leonard.
Thank you, Mr. Hardiman.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Can you please read the title for communications item number 1589?
Request of Ken Scatchmills to address council regarding Amtrak Pioneer.
Mr. Statchmills?
Hey. Scatchmills.
Scatchmills, sorry. Good morning. Welcome
Good morning.
To the City Council. We're glad you're here. You'll have, you just need to give us your first and last name, and you'll have 3 minutes.
My name is Ken Scatchmills, and I live in Southeast Portland. I'm here to ask the City of Portland to indicate support for the restoration of Amtrak's Pioneer train service, which was discontinued in 1997 after 20 years of connecting both Seattle and Portland to Eastern Oregon, Boise, Salt Lake City, and Denver. In the past 12 years, many people have pressed Amtrak to restore this important passenger connection between Portland and our eastern neighbors. Senators Wyden and Merkley and Congressman Blumenauer all support restoring the Pioneer train service. Congress required Amtrak to study the feasibility of restoring it, and Amtrak recently released its report. Since then, both Wyden and Blumenauer have reiterated their support for the restored service. It is now Congress's job to decide how to act, and we believe that strong grassroots support will convince Congress to fund the restoration of this service. A group called the Pioneer Restoration Organization, the PRO, has marshaled public support and endorsements so far, including statements from city councils and elected officials in 23 of the 30 communities along the Seattle to Denver route. These public resolutions and statements are all available on the PRO's website. Of the Oregon cities to be served, Portland is the only one which has not yet indicated their support, and that's why I'm here. Portland prides itself on having public transportation options. Portlanders love trains. We have a beautiful train station. We know that train travel is less carbon intensive than travel by air or car, and we know many people cannot drive or choose not to fly. When winter conditions close Eastern Oregon's roads and airports, trains usually continue to move. Restoring the Pioneer will bring more people to Portland with a smaller carbon footprint. It will be good for our city. My friend Scott Wells brought a summary of the Pioneer service and some language for a city council resolution. I hope this gets on your agenda soon and that Portland speaks up in support of the Pioneer. If you do, we can expect Oregon's senators and Congressman Blumenauer to work hard for the Pioneer's restoration. I think Portlanders want restored Pioneer service, and I respectfully ask you to support it with the resolution soon.
Well, thank you both very much. This is fantastic. Do you have business cards you could leave with Sue so we can follow up with you, or contact information?
Scott's contact information is on the handouts that we gave Sue.
We rarely get this kind of grassroots sort of work coming to us. I know that individual conversations with council over the years have been very supportive, and we've actually lobbied on this issue before, so we'll make sure that we make it official and appreciate your advocacy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Sue, can you please read the title for council communications, item number 1590?
Request of Charles E. Long to address council regarding community policing.
Welcome back, Mr. Long. Glad you're here.
My name is Charles E. Long. During the reign of police chiefs Mark Croker and Derek Fosworth, the term community policing was bandied about as a better means of solving the crime problem. Although the concept was rather vague, its goal was for the police to be proactive rather than reactive, to prevent crime rather than prosecute criminals. The reason it was not implemented was not primarily because of bureaucratic inertia, but because the plan would necessitate the training of a much larger and more expensive police force that would be socially involved with the disparate facets of our community. What does Police Chief Rosie Sizer think of the concept of community policing? Is she satisfied with the way the police handled the James Chassis confrontation? Is she satisfied that at least half of our police officers are not residents of Portland? What about racial profiling or diversity training? Are officers adequately screened for psychological or emotional fitness? Do they respect and value human life, even for the disabled, the poor, and the homeless? Does she believe, along with police union president Scott Westerman, that the police department is infallible, incapable of error, never wrong, not liable to fail, go wrong, or make a mistake? The police department is too isolated from our community. Chief Sizer should be required to appear before the city council regularly, say 4 times a year, to answer questions posed not only by the city council, but also by concerned citizens. The police department must be both transparent and accountable to the city council and the public. Today, it is not. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Long. Appreciate your testimony. That wraps up our council communications and leads us to the consent agenda. Does anyone wish to pull any items from the consent agenda? All right, Sue, can you please call the roll on the consent agenda?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Consent agenda is approved. We have 3 times certains. Can you please read the title for the first 9:30 times certain, item number 1591?
Proclaim November 18, 2009, a day of recognition for future Hispanic leaders.
The mayor has the power to offer proclamations, but I know this one is supported by the entire city council, and we've got some great community representatives, if they would please come forward. And I'll read the proclamation. Whereas Future Hispanic Leaders is a mentoring program for Hispanic students at Hosford Middle School, and wherein students who participate in Future Hispanic Leaders during their 7th and 8th grade years will be on track to graduate on time with their class. And whereas students who participate in Future Hispanic Leaders for 2 years are meeting and exceeding benchmarks, making them ready for high school. And whereas Future Hispanic Leaders maintain a 90% school attendance and have above a 3-point GPA. And whereas Future Hispanic Leaders account for less than 5% school disciplinary referrals. Now, therefore, I, Sam Adams, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim November 18, 2009, to be a day of recognition for future Hispanic leaders and their commitment to academic success. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. My name is Courtney Montague, and I am the School-Based Services Program Manager with El Programa Hispano Catholic Charities, and I'm here on behalf of Gloria Wiggins and El Programa Hispano today. We are really honored that you have recognized the potential of Hispanic leaders today with this proclamation. El Programa Hispano has been working in schools for the last 15 years throughout Multnomah County. We operate SUN schools, provide case management, academic support, parent engagement, and advocacy services. Our services focus on the strengths evident in the community by providing wraparound services to youth and their families. Our services have expanded over the last few years to be located in 23 schools throughout the greater Portland area. And we know that these services have expanded not just because there is need, but also because there is potential. This past summer, we participated in the Ninth Grade Counts Initiative, where we served over 60 rising ninth graders and future Hispanic leaders. We asked that all of our students write a practice scholarship essay, and all of the essays told the many struggles that students face in achieving their potential in high school and college. But all of the essays also mentioned their desire to achieve that potential and continue on to college and university. So we thank you for recognizing the efforts, city commissioners and Mayor Adams, and we look forward to continue our work with these future Hispanic leaders. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I also want to acknowledge, and in the full proclamation is noted, the Latino Network, PCC Camp Program, and El Programa Hispanico are doing a phenomenal work to recognize them in Latino student achievement by providing opportunities for growth, academic support, and mentoring. Are there others that wish to testify in this matter? Please come forward. Welcome to the City Council. Glad you're here. You just need to give us your first and last name, and that clock will help you count down the time.
Okay. Well, thank you, City Council, for allowing us to speak today. My name is Teresa Alonso, and I'm the director of the College Assistance Migrant Program, also known as CAMP. And what our program is about is that The College Assistance Migrant Program is a nationally funded program designed to support documented students from migrant and seasonal farm worker backgrounds during their first year of college. CAM provides students with financial and support services with the goal of preparing them to continue their education at a four-year institution. Our mission is to provide intensive first-year personal, academic, and financial support to promote continued enrollment, eventually graduating from a university. PCC received a grant in 2006 to develop a CAM program. We have now been running for over 3 years and are one of three programs in the state and one of 36 programs in the nation. According to Juan Sepulveda from the White House, migrant kids are at a higher risk of dropping out of college, and within the Latino population, we graduate between 11 and 13% from a bachelor's degree. This is why the CAM program is so important to many students. Our program provides students with the tools and opportunities for them to learn and understand how to navigate the university system so that they can be successful at any college that they would like to transfer to. CAM currently has a retention rate of 73%. Many of our students get on the president's list, dean's list, and honor roll. Not only do we have very smart students, but we also develop great leaders. Our students are required to give back to the community through volunteer and service learning projects. Last year, our students were recognized for their efforts in participating on a national blood drive honoring Cesar Chavez. Our CAM students were the only group in the nation that received media attention for their work. This is one example of what our students are doing to give back. CAM also has a parent component that helps parents understand what college life is about. We have an event called Parent College Day. This event literally gives parents a day in the life of a college student. It takes them through a college career fair. It takes them through team building activities. And it also takes them to take classes taught by volunteer PCC professors. And it also takes them through a mock graduation where they dress up in a cap and gown. And our administration is incredibly supportive. They are there to give the certificates away for our parents. So the things that we have done to prepare our students to go on to four-year institutions is a lot. And I have two students who have gone through the CAM program who are here to share what they have done within the CAM program, Gladia Lucatero and Roy Gomez.
Welcome. Good morning. My name is Roy Gomez. I'm currently a student at Portland Community College and looking to transfer to Portland State in the fall of 2010. The College Assistant Migrant Program, also known as CAMP, has helped me in many ways. During my freshman year at PCC, I didn't know anyone and felt out of place. I applied for the program and was accepted winter term my freshman year and have been involved with the program ever since. Thanks to CAMP, I have grown so much as an individual. CAMP has really helped me build up my resume and opened many doors for me. My second year at PCC was the best. I applied and got a position as a CAMP student mentor on campus for incoming first-year CAMP students. I became a role model and student leader on campus. Through the CAMP program, I had an opportunity to network and meet great local community leaders. As a program completer, I had the opportunity to participate on a new program that our director developed with Nike. The program is called the CAMP Nike Mentor Program, which focuses on developing my career and leadership skills. They also partnered us with professionals in the career field that we are interested in. I now feel confident in my resume, interviewing, and presentation skills. Also have a great new mentor who happens to be the marketing director at Nike. The College Assistant Migrant Program has helped me so much, and I now continue to do the same with all the new students to get each year. And I want to add to that is how she said the Parent College Day. That helped a lot with my parents. I'm from Eastern Oregon. Have you heard of Hermiston, Oregon? Mm-hmm. My parents came out here 3 hours, and they got to live the college experience for the whole day. They got to attend many classes. They got to attend biology, chemistry, and they kind of got to feel what I did when I was in college. When I'm in college, and so now they feel more comfortable with me being out here on my own.
Congratulations for all your success and very well spoken.
Thank you.
Hi.
Good morning. I want to thank you for inviting us today. My name is Claudia Lucatero, and I grew up in a household of a single mother who raised 9 children on her own. We lacked a lot of resources, and education was one of them. Going to college for me was not even an option. I got married very young. By the end of my senior year, I had my first son and got divorced a year and a half later. I was going through other changes in life and realized I wanted to do something with myself. I heard about camp from a recruiter at my church. I got invited to an open house. I was still having many doubts. I had been out of college. I've been out of high school for many years. I was a single mother and had, at that time, was responsible for 5 foster children. And I really didn't have any support from my family to continue my education. I attended the open house and got motivated. And I tried going back to school. And I'm currently doing my prereqs for nursing. I started as a mentee, and now I am the recruiter for the camp program. Being in the program has strengthened my leadership skills, and I have had the opportunity to be involved in many great activities. And one of them, how Teresa mentioned, was the learning project that we did. I was the lead organizer for the blood drive in honor of Cesar Chavez. We were able to obtain 96% of Latinos' first-time donors. And another event that really impacted me was the Parent College Day, how Teresa mentioned. Being the first one to go to college and being the youngest out of 9, my family was really not really familiar about the education and how important it is for us to attend college and how a better future we could get for us and our children. And I made my family attend, and after that day, it really impacted my family, and I really got a strong support system from my family. And till this day, I help organize that event. And this year, I helped organize the student parent panel. So I was very proud of doing that.
Thank you for your time.
Very well said as well. Thank you all very much. Very inspiring. Mr. School Board Member, welcome back.
Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Martin Gonzalez, and I serve as the Board President of the Latino Network. I also serve on Mayor Adams' Education Cabinet. Carmen Rubio, our Executive Director, was looking forward to being here today, but is unfortunately home ill with the flu. So I speak on behalf of her and our board this morning. The Latino Network is a nonprofit that works to support the educational achievement, leadership, and community development of Latino youth and families in Multnomah County. Every child deserves a quality education, and we are pleased that Council has given us the opportunity to highlight a few of the existing educational programs in our community, and also to highlight the need for continued investment in Latino students in order to close the achievement gap. Latinos in Multnomah County now make up 12% of the population, and it is critical that our community prioritizes the student achievement of our growing population. I want to take a moment to share a few things that the network is doing to support Latino student success. For many Latino families, not every child starts out ready to learn. Our program Juntos Aprendemos remedies the issue by preparing low-income children ages 3 to 5 for kindergarten. Juntos Aprendemos now a children's levy-funded program thanks to the work of Commissioner Salzman. Our programs are cited at Scott, Regler, Glenfair, and projected next year at Clarendon Portsmouth Schools. The program promotes the dual goals of school readiness and parent-child literacy values. Parents accompany their children as they learn their numbers, letters, and colors, and learn valuable lifelong literacy habits. Our outcomes demonstrate that nearly 100% of our program participants remain engaged in activities that promote literacy 1 year later. Not only do our Little Program graduates go on to perform well in kindergarten and beyond, the program lays the foundation for parent involvement and will enable children to feel supported, remain in school, and ultimately graduate from high school. The network also convenes the Coalition for Latino Student Success, a coalition of Portland area organizations, educators, and supporters who research proven best practices and advocate for a quality education for Latino students in Multnomah County. Efforts like the coalition have been occurring for many years. However, it is our hope that by your spotlighting of this important and timely issue today, we'll start a broader discussion about how to educate and prepare for a growing and diverse community in our school, in our schools, workforce, and neighborhoods. To that end, an accurate census count will be critical to our local government's ability to adapt to these changes. And I want to commend Commissioner Fish and Commissioner Cafori for taking on this important challenge. In closing, I would like to personally invite you to sometime visit the Latino Network programs and also to check out the programs of all today's invited speakers. They are truly changing lives. Investments in these educational programs now will reap us the rewards in the forms of Latino business owners, educators, doctors, and even elected officials. We at the network look forward to working with the City of Portland and all Portland area districts and other community organizations to make these investments a reality. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Martine, really, I do also just want to verify something you said. I was at an Oregon Mentors breakfast yesterday, and a prior speaker was the keynote, and she told her very inspiring life story. And I had heard that Carmen was going to be present, so I tracked down her table, and I went up to say hello, and it turned out she had sent her mother in her stead.
Yes.
And her mother said she was home with the flu. So, Carmen, if you're watching this, we miss you this morning.
That's right. And here's your proclamation, Carmen.
All right. Thank you.
And I also wanted to commend the Portland Public Schools District for your working at closing the achievement gap throughout the district. We received with our packet a study by Eco Northwest, the Hispanic White Achievement Gap in Oregon, which was very informative. And so I wanted to give a particular shout out to the schools who have already been successful in making progress in that. Atkinson, Grout, Capitol Hill, and Scott Elementary Schools, and George Hosford, Abernethy, and Jackson Middle Schools in the Portland Public Schools District, in David Douglas, Gilbert Park, and Lincoln Park, and in the Reynolds School District, which has a little bit of Portland, Hartley, and Woodland. So there is a lot of work being done, and we certainly appreciate the school board's attention to this. Also note that Kaylee Ladd of the mayor's office was at the State of Black Oregon Forum at PCC Cascade last night, did a fantastic job of talking about closing the Black achievement gap, and this council is very committed to making sure that all of our children learn. So thank you very much for your
support. Well, thank you all for your leadership. And again, I mean, I think it's going to take that, you know, concerted partnership from all of us to make this an issue that belongs to all of us, and it is in the best interest of all of us. I think that the more we do for those that are falling behind, I think that it'll benefit, you know, all the communities.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, all of you. We now have a 10 o'clock time certain. Can you please read the title for item number 1592, which is a report?
Accept the Cali Concordia Community Action Plan Annual Report.
So the Cali Concordia Community Action Plan is a great example of planning that goes well beyond land uses, which is a push that is going to continue from the new Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. This project addresses community vitality from the perspectives of families and children, the issues, the needs, the wishes, and truly affect livability and successful students and families. This project is also unique for the broad array of community partners that have come together and have contributed their expertise and wisdom in tackling items of importance to the Cully and Concordia communities. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability's District Liaison Program has been a key catalyst for this plan, convening partners to tackle community-identified needs and priorities in the area. And this will be a key input to the Portland plan. Last night in Northeast, we had our first meeting with over 150 people in attendance, and Commissioner Fish did a fantastic job of leading us off in that event. Now I'd like to introduce Debbie Bishop, the Northeast District Liaison from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, who will present a short staff report to City Council. Then I know there are several community representatives in the room that would also like to comment on this report.
Debbie. Mayor, may I just before we start just observe that last night was the kickoff of the Portland Plan community outreach process, and I believe you scheduled 8 community forums. And I think sometimes people don't fully take into account how hard you as the mayor have to work and how long your days are. And I want to just acknowledge that starting at 6:30 last night until about 9:30, you played your customary role at those events, which is part mayor, part Oprah, kind of engaging 150 people. And, you know, what was interesting to me, Mayor, is that while there were some of the usual suspects who came, and we heard about the need for subways, and we heard about the benefits of the automobile and the combustion engine and other things, so some of our favorite citizen activists were there. There were also lots of new faces. And so the fact that there were lots of people who had never been to a meeting like that who were there is a testament to the outreach you're doing. And while it was a dizzying amount of information and a very ambitious schedule, I just want to commend you and the folks at the Bureau for running just an outstanding community process. And I think everyone stayed, the reason everyone stayed until 9 or 9:15 was that they felt engaged, and it was a dynamic process. So I know I learned a lot, and I want to compliment you for the way you manage the public process. I think it's an auspicious debut to what's going to be a very interesting year-long process.
Well, you're very kind to say so. It's definitely a team effort, including everyone up here on the City Council that have made it possible and all of our co-sponsoring organizations. But yes, I
Commissioner agree. Fish, you still can't have the Fire Bureau.
But I'm very lucky to work with such a talented group in the Planning and Sustainability Bureau, no more so than Debbie Bishop. So thank you for being here.
Good morning, Mayor.
Just pay no attention to Commissioner Leonard.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. Debbie Bishop.
A moment.
Senior Planner and Northeast District Liaison. 1 year ago, city staff presented you the Cully Concordia Community Assessment Report and Action Plan, which you unanimously approved. And the project's been a partnership between the city, Portland Public Schools, and an array of community partners to address the needs, desires of children and the families in the greater community in the Cully Concordia area of Northeast Portland. The assessment report summarizes the physical, social, economic, educational conditions of the area, and the broadly developed community action plan reflects the needs of the community. And there's four goal areas I just wanted to remind you of. One is schools as multi-purpose centers of community. The second deals with community business and economic opportunities. The third is pursuit of neighborhood amenities and infrastructure that affect livability. And the fourth is contributions to community building, stability, and connectedness. In the past year, many participants have been actively engaged in action plan implementation and updating the action plan to include more specific problem statements, specific action steps for each strategy, along with measures of success to gauge successful implementation. The purpose of today's agenda item is to share with you the accomplishments of the past year and to let you know what project participants will be working on in the coming year. As you have heard, there are community members in the audience that would also like to share with you some of their thoughts. At the end of this item, I'm hoping that City Council will move to accept the Cully Concordia Community Action Plan Annual Report. So in your packet, there are three items. The first item is the annual report itself, and I would just like to highlight a few of the successes of the year. One of the successes is the Portland Community College's volunteer literacy tutoring program established two new adult English second language classes. One is at Salon Comunal at the Hacienda Residential Development, and the other at Harvey Scott School, using $15,000 from the City of Portland. These classes will go on for 2 years, three semesters a year. And I've heard the program started this past September, has 50 students. Most are Spanish-speaking with some Somali and Russian-speaking students. They're learning beginning English. They're learning workplace English, life family skills, and literacy topics. There are 7 volunteer tutors in the program. 4 are from Concordia University, again, showing the range of partnership here. Second item, the City of Portland has also been very active in Cully Concordia this year, and For example, and Commissioner Fish is not here, but Portland Parks and Rec has acquired a one-acre neighborhood park site at 51st and Alberta. So we've got the land together for Parks and Cully, which is great. Second, there's been interim improvements underway at Sacagawea Park, which is currently undeveloped. So those are two very important things going on in the parks realm. And thirdly, in an area that has very few activities and lacks a community center for children and families, we now have, of the three public schools in the area, all three now have Sun Community School programs, and Harvey Scott is the latest to have a Sun Community Program, and that initiated this school year. So that's another big achievement that folks are very excited about. In terms of activities underway for the next year, as with each issue that we try to tackle, there's a broad range of groups that come to the table, and early childhood development is no exception. So we've working groups been formed that has all kinds of nonprofit, Portland Public Schools, church groups, et cetera, involved to address early childhood development issues in the area. The Child Care Resource and Referral of Multnomah County staff are willing to take the lead in completing an early childhood development assessment. So we want to fully understand, we know there's needs out there in terms of programming and centers and locations for young children to develop and to benefit as they enter school. But we need to gather the data to really understand the issues we have. And this area is an area that has families have more children in their households than the rest of the city. Very steady children and youth population in this area. It's not declining like in other neighborhoods. So the issue is not going away, and it relates to a full spectrum from folks that need affordable childcare and folks that just need to find childcare in their neighborhood. So we're really excited that there's a group coming together to look at this issue, develop strategies, and begin addressing these issues. Second, you all are probably familiar that in Cully in particular, 50% of the streets do not meet city standards. There's a real lack of developed streets, a lack of sidewalks in this neighborhood. We've been partnering with the Office of Transportation, and the community will the transportation will work with the community in the next year to try to prioritize local street improvements. So with so many needs for street improvement out there, which are the top five? Which are the most critical ones to start to try to get funding for and try to address in that realm? So that will happen in the next year. There'll be some kind of a community workshop or meeting to explore that prioritization. Thirdly, Portland Parks and Rec, and with my assistance, we're trying to move forward on the goal of a community center in Northeast Portland, knowing that the focus right now is in Inner Southeast Community Center, and knowing that that will take a while for that community center to be developed. It will probably be a good 10 years perhaps before the city can effectively, through perhaps a bond, fund the very expensive community center that is needed in this area. So in the coming year, we're going to convene as many interested partners, stakeholders, including some nonprofits, and see if we could creatively address the need for a community center in Cully-Concordia area. So those are a few highlights of what's going on in the coming year. There's been ongoing. There's a community discussion group that meets quarterly. There's a steering committee that's been meeting roughly monthly to guide implementation of this action plan. And, again, a diverse group of stakeholders. Anybody interested can get involved, and people have been getting involved. The second item in your packet is the updated action plan, and I'm not going to go over it in any details other than, as I mentioned before, there's more specific problem statements, action steps, and measures of success. And as you probably recall, City Council did request in last year's action plan that we develop measures of success so that we know we will be successful in implementation of these many actions. And the third item is comes from the action plan also, and it's a resource matrix of potential funding sources for key community needs. Those key community needs that are looked at in this matrix include parks and recreation, transportation, and again, local streets, especially economic development and early childhood development. And it's just meant, it's an informational piece as a way to explore how to fund the needed improvements in the area. So that concludes my staff presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for picking up my friendly challenge to come up with performance measures. And you're really, and the community partners as well, you're really leading the city with this plan on that score.
Thank you very much.
Oh, one other question. We've had some inquiries about the safety of the railroad crossing on Cooley. Is that an issue yet in this plan?
It hasn't come up.
Okay. Something we'll be working on in the year ahead.
Thank you.
Thanks, Debbie.
Okay.
How many people have signed up?
We have 8 people signed up.
Okay.
Come up 3 at a time. The first will be Elena Emlin, Tony Fuentes, Robert Granger. They'll be followed by Ann Rothert, Pietro Ferrari, and Bill Barber.
Welcome, and welcome back to the City Council. Glad you're here. I like your button. Please begin.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Ilana Emlin, and I am staff to the Early Childhood Council at the Multnomah County Commission on Children, Families, and Community. And I'm here to express appreciation for the inclusion of early childhood and childcare in this plan, because it's really so much about quality of life, ability to work, and school readiness. The action plan in Section 1G talks about collaborating with us at the Commission and also with the childcare community, and we really look forward to that. I also want to especially applaud Debbie Bischoff for spotting this issue, connecting the dots and the people, and helping us all contribute to this plan. And I also want to commend the City of Portland because I really think this is very good and innovative. Every now and then, the National League of Cities asks me, to send in information, what's new and exciting happening in early childhood, and how are cities and other local jurisdictions like the county moving early childhood forward? And I think this is a great example for how it's fitting so seamlessly into this action plan. So thank you for the good work of the Bureau and the whole city.
Thank you. Tony, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here again. My name is Tony Fuentes. I'm a business owner and resident in the Concordia area. It's been a great pleasure to be part of developing the Cooley Concordia Action Plan. The guidance and support of city staff, especially Debbie Bischoff, has been critical in keeping these initiatives going, especially during these tough economic times. In the immediate future of this project, we hope we can count on continued staff support from the city. And obviously, in the long term, we're looking for substantial infrastructure and service investments in the Cooley Concordia area. I'm here to speak primarily to the economic development goals of the action plan. These build from one of the key findings in the assessment that you accepted last year. And that being that with the lack of commercial zoning and limited small business development in the Cooley Concordia area, we're seeing a big impact economically speaking. Millions, literally millions of local dollars are leaking out of the area. There's limited retail and commercial services for residents, and that buying power is being used elsewhere. So, and that's often being used at businesses that have ownership outside the region and outside the state, which means that the impact of that buying has even a smaller impact on our local economy. In addition, job opportunities in the area are extremely limited, and without proper zoning, there is an artificial ceiling on job creation. The lack of distinct commercial zoning in the area also makes targeting support for business development extremely challenging. Most traditional capital improvement programs like Main Street initiatives or tax increment financing are focused around commercial corridor development. And the reality is, in this area, we don't really have a clearly defined commercial corridor within our zoning application. And so Main Street rezoning is one of the key economic strategies we've identified in the action plan. It remains one of the key needs, and it is a short-term need. It's something that I think we need to move on as soon as possible. But access to capital and providing a place for businesses to grow is only one aspect of economic development. Ultimately, the city and community partners like ourselves must be tangible investors in creating entrepreneurs in the Cully-Concordia area. The greatest driver of our local economy has been and continues to be small business development. It is no surprise that this was one of the things that underscored the city's recently adopted economic development strategy, which I had the pleasure of being part of as well. Job creation in this region, state and county, is driven by new firm development. These new businesses need a place to grow and to thrive, but they also need to be grown from the talents, resources, and skills of local entrepreneurs in order to have the greatest impact on our local economy. Technical support for small business development through community partners via the Economic Opportunity Initiative and other funding programs need to be expanded. This, again, is a key initiative in the economic development strategy, and it remains a critical need in the Cully-Concordia area. So in closing, acceptance of this annual report is not something that should be taken lightly. We expect the city to support the Cully-Concordia community with the technical, political, and financial support it needs. And ultimately, we believe the fruits of the Cully-Concordia Action Plan could be the cornerstone of our economic recovery and help us create a more durable local economy overall. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Bob Granger. I'm a resident of the Cully neighborhood, a member of the Cully Association of Neighbors, was part of the advisory council for the Cully Green Street development, and I'm also a business development consultant. You know, historically, the expansion of the city out into the Concordia-Cullia areas followed a classic model of large geographical areas, large lots, focused on residential development, primarily, quite frankly, to provide workforce housing, affordable at the time, and automobile-based in that people could drive to work and drive to the services that they needed. As we know, this is not the model for today or for the future. And so the development that's happening around the new vision of a small cluster development definitely needs some legacy work out in the neighborhood. We've seen an excellent example of how this can happen when we look at the new season development at the corner of 33rd and Killingsworth, and seeing how that anchor tenant has activated that space and created a real walkable neighborhood. Area, kind of a model for the 20-minute community. We'd like to leverage the work on the Cully Green Street project to provide that same kind of catalyst in the center of the neighborhood. There is no commercial zone really between 42nd and Sandy as it angles out to the east. And the Cully Green Street provides an opportunity. As you know, we have at the corner of Prescott and Cully to the south, the Albertsons, and some commercial development that hubs that anchors that. To the north, we have the Hacienda housing. We have new LEED level of residential housing, the community transition school, the Ortiz Center, and a nice commercial spot whose anchor tenant is a pawn shop. And in between those two hubs, it's all residential zoned, and that's where the Cully development is going, Cully Green Street development. We'd like to see, to leverage the wonderful work that was done on the Cully Main Street project last year, to take that to the next step of a formal zoning analysis to look at how we can integrate mixed use on that street. Secondly, there are no bus lines on that street. There are no bus stops. People have, either to get access to whatever is developed along that street, or to even travel from the Hacienda housing up to the Albertsons, they have to do it by. So we'd like to see a bus plan integrated into that, and then of course you know about the needs for strategic sidewalks. So if you could help us move on these very specific issues over the next year, it would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you very much, and without a plan, it would be impossible, and this is a very good plan, so thank you for all your hard work on it.
Next three, Ann Rothert, Pietro Ferrari, Bill Barber. They'll be followed by Gary Withers, Jean Lemo, and Ray Espana.
Good morning, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. My name is Ann Rothert. I want to thank you for your support of the Cully Concordia Action Plan thus far and for your time today. And if I may, I would like to take this opportunity to thank Debbie Bischoff for all her work and leadership. She has kept us organized, moving forward, and inspired. I would also like to acknowledge all the time and work of everyone who has contributed to this plan over the last 2 years. It's been grassroots community organizing at its best. I've been involved with many projects and stakeholder committees over the years, and this one is thrilling to be a part of. As Debbie told you, and as you see from our summary, we have realized numerous short-term successes. I fully expect us to see many more of our action item short- and long-term goals come to fruition in the future. I wear two hats at this table. I am the chair of the Concordia Neighborhood Association, so this area is my home. In my professional life, I am a coordinator for the Child Care Improvement Project, working with family child care providers to promote high-quality child care and build and sustain economic success, thanks in part to the Children's Levy and the Portland Development Commission. The contribution of child care to economic development is twofold. Behind many successful working parents is a dependable, high-quality child care provider. There is much research that supports the idea that the ability to maintain a job and worker productivity is connected to stable child care. The other piece is the child care provider as part of our city's workforce. Every employed child care provider contributes to the economic well-being of our city. Family child care providers are entrepreneurial business owners. Of course, family child care is just one piece of the child care pie. Our initial findings indicate that there is an insufficient supply of licensed child care of any kind in our targeted area, registered and certified family child care or center-based care. This action plan of ours seems to be a living document, and new partners are continually being enticed to participate. The Multnomah County Commission on Children and Family Communities and Child Care Resource and Referral of Multnomah County have come on board to help us further assess the child care needs of the community. With that information, we will know more specifically what direction and what next steps to take in order to answer those needs appropriately. We have many good models here in Portland, Child Care Improvement Project networks being just one of them. Even better, we have partners ready to take on the work. High-quality child care will be a key to successful economic development in the Cully Concordia area. I'm privileged to be involved in a project where my personal volunteer and professional lives blend to make my neighborhood a better place to live and to be in a city that supports the work. Thank you again for your time and your continued support.
Thank you very much.
Morning, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Pietro Ferrari. I'm the Executive Director of Hacienda CDC. And I wanted also to commend and express our gratitude for this community action plan. We participated in all of the discussions, and I'd like to request the City Council continued support for this effort. There's a disturbing sense of helplessness in our society with too many people losing jobs and making sure that they afford health care and all the concerns. So sometimes it feels overwhelming. So I think we have an opportunity here to change the landscape by providing opportunities for residents like those that live in our Hacienda's properties to engage in these processes and influence how the destinies of this neighborhood. In particular, I would like to address the concerns that I'm voicing here on behalf of residents for the lack of safe conditions for passage to grocery stores and all of that, the lack of sidewalks, bike lanes, and speed bumps that make this a dangerous and inadequate stretch for children and pedestrians. So there's that insufficient or lack of infrastructure that accompany the housing complexes that we develop. Cully also is notorious for having the city's highest concentration of mobile trail parks, and we would like to offer to work with the city to improve the living conditions of many of those substandard housing. Many home dwellers have approached us and said, you know, we are concerned that a private developer would pretty much pull out the rug under our feet, displace us, and without having the sense of permanent homeownership. And at Hacienda, we've also experienced recently a disturbing trend, which is that of many Latino families are facing foreclosure. And so the gains that we have made recently in promoting homeownership, I think, could quickly be eroded by many families that have fallen into high-risk loan schemes. So education, I think, is one of the answers. And we are working not only through this effort for engaging and providing ESL classes for primarily adults, but also designing our community centers as the hub for all things related to education, from elementary school children. We're working with CHIF on that initiative, all the way to the after-school support. But more importantly and recently is adult education. We have seen that Latino families have experienced a lot of high-risk loans and fraudulent schemes that get bombarded. And so what we like to do is start a readiness campaign to equip residents with the tools that they need to succeed, and provide opportunities like this effort to engage so that they can voice their concerns and participate in civic life. And so at Hacienda, we'd like to be that bridge builder. And with your help, I think we can start addressing the disparities that are faced at the community level.
And your time is up.
Okay.
But only for this conversation, thank you for your continued commitment and Hacienda's continued commitment and partnership on this effort.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Morning, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. I'm Bill Barber. I'm with Central Northeast Neighbors Coalition. And I wanted to give some examples of how we've been an active partner on this project, which we strongly endorse. There's really three areas. One is in cross-cultural work. A second that's been mentioned before is the Portland State University students' Masters of Urban and Regional Planning project on the Cully Main Street. And then third, the Cully Boulevard street improvement itself. Central Northeast Neighbors did a cultural workshop, cross-cultural workshop in May that was the last in a our continuing series, actually, that complemented the Cully Concordia plan. We looked at three areas in the plan. One was engaging youth and parents in the community. A second was linking to underutilized sites for community activities. And a third area was to explore transportation alternatives for underserved communities in the area. And we had about 50 area youth and a real diverse number of community members who came to this workshop. We even had some folk dancing by the Somali community and the Latino community that was pretty exciting. The second area where we've had close coordination is working on the Cully Main Street plan. And I can't emphasize enough working together with the students at Portland State and working on these community projects. This was another very successful project, and I'd really like to see more. The action plan and the work that the students did also complements the upcoming construction on Cully Boulevard, which has been a long time coming, as you know. And I think it'll be truly a street for the 21st century with the environmental mitigation, the first cycle track in the city. That's not a pilot project. And really looking forward to that. And then finally, I'd like to say, as many other people have today, it's just real important to have the district liaison program in the city and to be working with the planner as professional as Debbie Bischoff. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank all of you. Appreciate it.
And we have three more, Gary Withers, Jean Lemo, and Ray Espana.
Good morning. Welcome to the City Council Chambers. We're glad you're here.